But I'd like to bring before you this evening a simple but profound question. And the question is this: are you a Christian? Are you a true Christian? I believe this is the most important and serious question that you can ever ask yourself, because of the consequences of your answer to that question. It's absolutely vital that you understand the question and that you know how you would answer it and why you would answer it in that way. Well, to help all of us answer this question, I want to use one of the criminals who was crucified on the cross at the same time as Jesus as an example to us. If you have your Bible open, it's Luke chapter 23. I think there are four things we can learn from one of the criminals who was crucified with the Lord Jesus. Firstly, I believe that if you are a Christian, your attitudes to yourself will be similar to the attitudes that the criminal showed to himself. Secondly, I believe that if you are a Christian, your attitudes to Jesus Christ will be similar to that of the criminal. Thirdly, I believe that if you are a Christian, you will, like this criminal, have made some expression of trust or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And fourthly, I believe that if you are a Christian, you will have, like this criminal, you will have received salvation as a free gift. You will have received it from God as a free gift. So four things this evening. Firstly, I think if you are a Christian, your attitude to yourself will be similar to what we see in the life of one of these criminals who was crucified with Christ. If you look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 39, first of all, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." So we are to remember the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross in the center, and one criminal on the left. And this criminal, here we read that he blasphemes Jesus, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." This man, he wanted to get out of the situation he was in. He was in terrible pain, suffering on the cross. And he wanted just to get out of that situation, didn't he? He says, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other one, the one that we're going to think about this evening, verse 40, but the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." So this other man, this other criminal, he realized that he was guilty. He's done something wrong, committed some serious crimes, and now he was being punished for those crimes. And he realized that, and he admitted his guilt. He said, "We are being punished justly. This is a just punishment." He wasn't there trying to get out of the situation. He wasn't there trying to excuse himself. He wasn't protesting his innocence. He said, "We are here justly. I know I've done something wrong. I realize I'm a criminal. And I realize I'm being punished for what I've done wrong." And we could say that his opinion of himself, it coincided with the opinion of the Roman law about him. That he'd broken the law, and now he was being punished. And he realized that, and he acknowledged that. Well, you know, there is another law which has an opinion of us. It's not the Roman law. It's God's law. It's God's law. It's the Ten Commandments. And it's the whole of God's law as it's revealed to us in the Bible. And I want to ask you this question. Does your opinion of yourself agree with the Bible's opinion of you? Just like this criminal, he agreed that he was being justly punished by the Roman law. Well, I wonder, does your opinion of yourself agree with the Bible's opinion of you? Let me give you an example. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." The Bible brings us face to face with reality. It says, "For all have sinned." Okay, all. Do you include yourself in that all? That's everybody. Everybody has sinned, has fallen short of God's commandments. Do you agree with that statement? Or are you going to try to protest your innocence? Are you going to try to excuse yourself? You might sit there and think, "I'm not a sinner because I don't do any harm to anyone else. I try to live the best that I can, and I don't hurt other people. Never robbed a bank, never been violent, never cheated the taxman." But you know, sin is much deeper than those things. Sin is a devastating disease that affects all of us. It affects all of us. It affects you and it affects me. It affects celebrities. It affects people who no one else knows about. It affects politicians. It affects everybody from every walk of life. We are all included in that word "all," for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The reason our sin is so serious is that it's ultimately against God. It's ultimately against God. It's not just against each other. What makes it so serious is that it's actually against God. And it's hard for us to understand how serious sin is because we're all mixed up in it, because we are all sinful. And none of us are perfect. And so I want to try to help you to understand something about the situation. Have you ever thought how the same action can have different consequences depending on who it affects? Take kicking as an example. Okay, here's a game of football, and let's say that one football player kicks another player in the game. What happens? The referee blows the whistle, and there'll be a free kick. If it was a very bad foul, there might be a yellow card. Something like that. But the game carries on. Now imagine that one of the players in the middle of the game kicked the referee. Okay, what would happen? What would happen? Well, it's much more serious, isn't it? That player could be sent off and probably fined and would probably miss the next few matches. And why? We have to ask ourselves, why would that be? Why is that? That's because the referee is different from the players. The referee is in a position of authority, and he is over the players. He's not the same as the players. He's not on the same level as those football players. That's why the same action has more serious consequences. And now imagine a big international game of football, okay? Germany against England. And the stadium is crowded. And at the beginning, the players are in two lines. And the Queen comes on. And she shakes the hands of the players. She maybe says just one or two words to them. She shakes her hands. Now imagine one of the players, okay, kicks the Queen. Can you imagine that? What would happen? It's almost unimaginable, isn't it? There would be absolute uproar. It'd be on the news around the world. Everyone would hear about it. But again, you have to ask yourself, why? Why is that? And the only explanation is it's because the Queen is different from those football players. And if one of them kicked another player in the game, it doesn't really matter that much. But if they kick the referee, if they kick the Queen, it's incredibly serious because they are different. And you know, that's a bit like us. You see, you might lie to me, I might lie to you. You might rub me up the wrong way, I might rub you up the wrong way. And we're like those football players, we're all just mixed up in it together. And because of that, we're all involved in this. But God is different. God is the judge. He's like the referee. He's in a completely different category. And so when we sin, when we break God's commandments, that's why it's so serious. That's why it's so serious. Because he is different from us. God is holy. He is pure. There are no imperfections in God. And do you know that sin is not just actions? Sin also includes your thoughts. Sin also includes your thoughts. Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, deceit, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly." And I wonder, would any of you here this evening want your thoughts to be projected up onto this wall so that we could all see them? I don't think you would. I think you would be embarrassed. And why is that? It's because so often our thoughts are impure and full of horrible and ugly things that we would not want them to be displayed. And do you realize when we talk about sin, we're not just talking about murder, we're not just talking about robbing a bank. When we talk about sin, we're talking about our thought life. Our thought life. And that helps to explain the statement, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." You might meet some very good people. They might never do any harm to anybody. But because sin includes everything, our actions and our thoughts and our motivations, even the very best of people fall short of God's standard. You know, sin is a very small word, just three letters. But the middle letter is I. And so many sins are related to putting me first. Selfish ambition. I want my way. I must be first. I must be treated how I want to be treated. Putting others down. So many sins are connected with I. Do you know what the greatest commandment in the Bible is? It's this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Have you ever really loved God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, all the time? Have you ever really done that? Have you always loved your neighbor as yourself? Haven't you ever said anything unkind to your neighbor? Haven't you ever taken something from another person, slandered someone, gossiped about someone? You see, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all failed the test. Let's say that we had to enter a swimming competition. And in the swimming competition, we had to swim from the west coast of Britain across to the USA. And that was a competition. And everybody had to enter it. Well, some people would get further than others. Michael Phelps, the Olympic gold medalist, would get further than me. I would get further than some. But nobody would make it, would they? Nobody would make the destination. No one would be able to swim all the way across the Atlantic to get to America. So ultimately, it doesn't really matter if one's a bit better than the other. It doesn't really matter, because they would all fail. And you know, that's what it's like for us. We'll meet some people who are better than us. They might be more generous, they might be kinder, more loving, more patient. We'll meet some who might be worse than us. But in the ultimate sense, it doesn't really matter, because God's standard is 100% perfection. We read in Isaiah, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." So the Bible's opinion of us is very realistic. It's that we are all sinful. That we've all turned away from God. That we have all failed the test. So do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Like this criminal, he realized he was being justly punished. Can you see that you've fallen short of God's law? The only alternative to agreeing is to try and justify yourself. To try and justify yourself. There was a man called William Grimshaw who listed all of his sins on one side of a paper and all of his good deeds on the other side. And he tried to make sure that his good deeds, that list was longer than his list of bad deeds. And you know, I think a lot of people do a similar kind of thing. They keep a mental list of their good works, and they soon forget the bad things that they've done. And as long as they think in their minds that basically their good works outweigh their bad works, they think that they will be acceptable to God. But that's not true. It's not true. God demands perfect obedience to all of his law. So when we realize that we are guilty before God, we must repent. We must repent. To repent is to be sorry for our sin. To say to God, I realize that I'm guilty. I realize that you should punish me, that I deserve punishment. And I'm sorry for those things, and I want to turn away from those things. And to repent means a change of direction. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. And I believe that this criminal was sorry for the things that he had done wrong. I believe that he had repented. The word repent isn't actually mentioned here. But I believe that he was sorry. He realized that he was guilty. And I believe that he had repented. So, have you realized that you are a sinner? Are you sorry for your sins? Do you grieve over them? Have you confessed your sins to God and turned away from them? Are you tired of sin? Do you want to turn away from those things which are wrong and turn to God? Well, that's the first thing then. Secondly, I believe that if you are a Christian, your attitudes to Jesus will be similar to this criminal's attitude. Look what he says there in verse 41. He says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man Jesus has done nothing wrong. He was saying, look, we're here, we're guilty, we're being punished, but this man is different from us. He is innocent. He's done nothing wrong. So the criminal, he could see a difference between himself and Jesus. And I wonder, do you share the criminal's view?